357 again. So if you have the sauce by itself, unmodified, it's 357,000 scovilles.
Yeah. Well, what's a scoville? What is the scoville scale?
A measure of heat.
Do yourself a favor. Give yourself a quick Google. It's one of those things where I can explain it, but if you just Google it and take a look at it, you'll save half an hour of conversation.
I don't need Google. I have Joe, Mr. Gibson.
Yeah, it goes insane. It's like a regular hot sauce, like Frank's Red Hot or Tabasco. It's like 2,000, 2,500.
Yeah.
Really?
So if that's hot for you, when you start getting into the bigger stuff, it's 300, 400,000. It's
for what?
For hot sauce. It's just like, it burns. Someone who has good flavor.
Oh, the Scoville.
Yeah. Oh, see, I've never heard of the Scoville scale. It's like probably something that's pepper jacky is about as hot as I go. So with Matt turning off his phone, we are already streaming live, gentlemen, and I'm going to take us through the transition stage.
And at that time, I am going to go get something to eat. So,
Mangiano.
I'll be lurking Amico. In darkness.
usual thing up crunch, on Fantasy. Crunch.
That's me in the corner.
Cool.
That's me in the darkness.
Munching
losing
on some
my thing. Erection.
Ooh.
What?
Trying to keep it up, but I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I ripped it off. I must have pulled too hard.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a shamble start. I mean, not only have I already buggered the technical aspect. I just noticed that everyone has the wrong background, including myself. So welcome to, again, with the promise of, the possibility, the hopes and dreams laid before Bear, that we might actually cap season one of Dice Before Dishonor, because they're in the final dungeon, and, spoiler alert, they are fighting a major boss right now, and they are showing them who is boss. Let's us...
Wouldn't it be the absolute best if the major boss's name was actually Major Boss?
Inception, copyright.
What? That's a
think
copyright?
About that.
Yeah, that'd be the best.
Major boss.
No, I love it, but the Inception copyright threw me off. What are you talking about?
It's a great idea. It's been put in, and to copyright it so that...
You cannot copyright a word unless it's completely made up.
No, you can't copyright the word, but you can copyright the conception.
The Inception.
Yeah, no, I'm lost.
Matt, no matter how we lob them.
Maybe I'm just distracted because I'm desperately trying to set up our battle board here. Gentlemen, we are below Martella's safe house in an underground cavern that breached the back of a constructed part of a training ground. You guys found rotten food on a table. You found breach walls that led to the sewer, and now you found a breach wall that led to a prison cave. We found Lady Lothied, our benefactor. Huzzah. A little out of it, a little beaten and torn, chained to a wall.
That's how most of our mornings start.
Yeah. Does your morning usually start where you freeze in place, though? Early in the gate, though, to his noble nature, Sir Bartholomew rushed to her side to see if the lady was well. And
Sir
Wilson.
Whom?
Sir
Could
Bartholomew?
You repeat that, please? Oh, there you go.
What did I say, Sir Bottoms Up? What
you said, Sir Bartholomew?
All consonants, zero vowels.
Lion face, lemon face, lion face, lemon face. I'm not warmed up, obviously, not warmed up, frozen, and not like the Disney special. Sir Bartholomew, frozen in place, trying desperately to make saving throws to break free of this enchantment every round. And Sir Gilder Varth, almost taking the love of Sir Winston's life's head off, and the terrible realization that this woman is an evil cleric, acrobat, not just a circus performer by day. Winston's dealing with some terrible anxiety. Hanging out in the back, being schlepped along, there's a few arrows flying into the room, thanks to Leon, our samurai, but hanging back, taking his time, and just probably entering the battle now, is Fafal, who's been hanging back. Always useful to detect magic and be sort of our slapdog and faithful companion and probably the guy that has more skills than all the rest of you combined. But in combat, coming forth with his rapier, we have yet to see that. Picture the scene. A long, tall, oval cave. It's approximately 20 feet deep and a good 50, 60 feet long. And straight on the center back wall, Lady Lothi is shackled. To the south, in one square position, Sir Bartholomew is frozen in time. Beside him, trying to lend him a little cover and aid, attacking an actual cultist, behind Bartholomew is Sir Varth, who is also in the act of chasing down our very acrobatic, flippy-flippy, out-of-the-way little halfling female cleric. To the north of Lady Lothied, two cultists, one stepping forward unfettered, possibly threatening her life and could end it, gentlemen. It only takes a full round action to coup de grace, and the woman is barely conscious and considered helpless. Scooting across to the right, or to the entrance, or to the east, as it were, that little cube of a room that's outside of the cave, one step in, we have Sir Winston dealing with, well, somebody I guess he was planning on taking to prom. Is turning out to be some kind of cult leader, a murderer? Like, he's demanding answers, and he's getting ready to charge, I believe. Standing behind him, pelting arrows, still outside the room, Sir Leon. And then down, a little south, a couple squares, in the hallway, we had Aidan Willems is back tonight to play Fafal. Did I miss any details, gentlemen? No? All shaking of heads, or all our mics muted and we're just having a terrible technical night?
You seem to have completely forgot that we win all the time, always.
We haven't won
yet. You also have seemed to have forgotten that you are a cutie, Jeff.
I am. I mean, if I pull up her Wisilka the Fabulous's picture again, you know, this woman is far, far too cute to take down in battle. I mean, wouldn't you...
Oh, no, I'm meaning you as the GM.
I'm a cutie?
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So did you have any damage that I can take care of there for you, Fafal? I mean,
it really is... Really surprised that didn't get you a hero point, Aiden.
No, I do have 6 damage, actually.
Oh, well, we'll have to take care of that and double it. never call me cute to my face, you know?
Fully off screen.
Yeah, that's right. The head swells too big for the
seriously,
camera.
Seriously, would you look at the toes on that one? Wow.
Come again?
Look at the picture. It's a halfling thing, man.
Oh.
Don't judge.
Sorry, I just took it down. It's like I put up for you guys and then got rid of it. Damn it, we're referencing the picture again. I just can't keep up. I can't keep up with all this. Goings-ons. So, gentlemen, before I start the battle music once again, and we restart time, which I have conveniently stopped, as it were, for the reiteration of where we were, what we were doing, what's going on, you know, all that bit. Do we have any questions? Because as a tabletop game, if somebody has a legit question, the DM can, you know, put a pin in combat. So do you have anyone, any concerns, any rule questions? Because it is Wiska's turn.
Could I not be paralyzed?
Yes, you cannot be paralyzed.
Having to roll to not be paralyzed.
I believe there are some game mechanics that allow that, though I pretty much be playing the game for you if I just out with it. Perhaps you guys need to start thinking out of the box.
Okay. Have I used any spell slots or performances?
One Cure Light Wounds, I believe, okay. By my hand to bring you down to 6 or to help somebody else that was worse off than you.
Got it.
I think it was Varth was like really bad shape, and we're like, no, you know, we think Aiden would, you know, help out the guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay.
Yes, okay.
Just wanted to make sure.
All right. So we are going to start the round. No, I don't think so. I think it's far more interesting to jump into our role-playing imaginations, and I would like to temporarily stall while we wait for Frank. I mean, temporarily add a cutscene at this point. Not 24, 48 hours before, when you emerged from the last dungeon and witnessed the slaughter, you were introduced to a bunch of Pathfinder Society members that had gone in and either successfully or unsuccessfully dealt with culprits. Said culprits may have gotten away or still be at large. However, a couple things we learned are very important. The princess was safe and got out. Lady Guerilla Marilla, the leader of the Pathfinder Society faction, Sovereign's Court, also safe and got out. Lothied, we thought was safe, but of course now we are here to rectify that. But it was Lady Marilla that Fafal approached, and through his connection to her, she sent some spies and scouts here to clear away some of the guards wandering around, which gave you guys all the time in the world to line up your pretty little horses and do that charge. Because if you guys had just approached, you could have been pelted by arrow fire, you could have been pelted by daggers, you know, like a couple guards wandering around. So thanks to the role-playing at the party, and thanks to winning over her favor, that set up this encounter to a lesser degree and a greater chance of success. So the party, which we've had on the net at large, you know, how this module is structured, there's been a lot of back and forth of who likes it, who doesn't. It's a DM's nightmare. Without you guys kind of going, that makes sense, sort of hammering home this point. Forgive me, but, you know, myself and my players don't stay in the same campaign every week. We rotate shows, so it's hard to keep all these collective story threads, you know, up and running in their minds for them to go, oh, right, and the thing, and that, and this leads us to this conclusion. So, unfortunately, sometimes I literally have to drill these points home. Cause and effect. Yes? We did well there, and now we're seeing fruits of our labor, and here we are on top of a boss fight with less resistance up top. So let's talk about cause and effect. Let's go back in time again, where you guys found a couple of halfling bodies, poor Mike and Sylvia, stuffed into lockers, and a mysterious note left addressed to Leon that labeled them as dangerous people, that they deserved to die or something was going on, and led us to believe that one of the three nobles you were protecting wasn't who they said they were. And you guys watched Lord Bolthouse, you watched Sir Python, but his name, first name is not Monty. Sir Gryphus Plastian, as well as watching Lady Godiva, Gwyneth. And we went to her home. She had fallen ill, wasn't taking receivers, but she did bless you guys and give you the money. We dealt with her maitredomo, the head butler, quite a bit. And you guys kept tabs on the home, as far as you know. Who has any connection to the underworld? Who has any connection where there's just like, you know, ma'am, butler, and the maids are like, that cavalier is standing on a horse, you know, walking through the window because he's elevated, you know, that type of thing. I believe you guys had discussed that maybe Fafal was going to use his connections or, you know, slink around and try and keep an eye on her most of the time. Was that true?
I believe so.
I think so. I think it was you. You did, yeah, like at least half the work for that. And, or we, you know, we paid people to, keep an eye, or you guys rotated shifts, you know, her comings and goings. And you guys watched the house. You weren't like breaking in or always visiting. You guys pretty much watched who came and who left at the house. And after her ordeal in the dungeon, it seemed to make sense that after rewarding and taking you guys as visitors, she wasn't really going to parties or going out a lot or having a lot of people over. It was just servants back and forth. And this is what you had to report for fall to your lord and his fellow company of cavaliers and one fly samurai. During this time, which I believe was at least a day, if not a 2 to 3 day period, you had been left alone to your own devices. And each cavalier went to look after some of his own building, of his own personal apartment there in town, or, you know, caught word of what was going on. Maxillar Pytheris, that general that Sir Bartholomew's father has history with, that Bartholomew doesn't particularly like.
Lightly saying that.
Well, I'm trying to be polite. It is polite society, you know, while we're discussing this amongst
amongst friends.
Yes. Has made a major play for the crown, has shorn up a lot of support, and has gone off to one of the sort of areas that he controls. I wonder if I can actually take a moment and pull up the actual map now that we have. There's a map showing what noble controls what areas of Taldor. And of course, yeah, I suddenly can't find it. Where they have influence, that sort of thing.
You're telling me that Taldor has regions within Taldor?
Well, it has regions that are, shall we say,
are contested?
Where a family or nobility holds sway. They pretty much control the region. And it's like your king has barons and lords, you know, like a king will give a part of a land to a duke. Then I don't
know. But they're all for the greater of Tal'Dor, are they not?
Sure. And these lines have not changed a lot. However, Pytherius actually holds a lot of land, including where your family estate is to the north. This is why he has a relationship with your father, because technically he is your father's immediate liege lord.
Liege lord.
Yes. Indeed. Yes. As one might say.
But unfortunately, nepotism doesn't favor intelligence.
So you're far smarter or lesser than your father? Is that what you're trying to say with that sentence?
No, Maxillar, what we're talking about.
Hmm. Oh, Maxillar. Well, he's no idiot, and he's got his own military force because he is the head of Tal'Dor's military, which now, with the lack of king, you know, it's like Hitler's inner circle, right? There's the Air Force guy, the PR guy, the main forces guy, and if Hitler disappeared, they take over. They're in place to run, you know, what was going on in said time. In all of this coupla, a lot of nobles have come out suddenly, like, you know, showing their line to the lineage to the throne, trying to get closer to it. Because apparently we've also learned that, unfortunately, Brand Prince Stavian III has died. They don't say how. They don't say when. They just announce that he is deceased, and the whole country just suddenly goes in an uproar. You guys check your assets, your families, your, you know, during that 2 days where we were also staking out on Lady Godiva, you guys were also, like, you know, seeing to your loved ones, the people you care for, that kind of thing.
Family estates, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, you'd have to, like, ride north, that kind of thing. So you could maybe send a messenger or contact, you know, send some word that might get there in days going, Dad, you know, the king's dead. What do we do? You know, that kind of thing. Word will spread naturally. You know, your dad is always somebody that had his ear to the ground. But I don't think he would have had time to actually venture north and see Dad, and then come all the way back in a day or two, where, you know, we realized Lothied is missing, and it was our duty, as since she was our benefactor. She was the one that said, through the princess, through me, serve the princess. Through me, here's your invites, the money, all that stuff, go to the party, serve your country, through me. So she is your benefactor, Lady Lord. Lady Lothied is a lady of a very powerful magical family, the Lothied family, and even though she does not really have a lot of magical power herself, and she's a little bit of, since she is actually mixed bred with your ancient enemy, the Kadirian bloodline, funny enough, bit of a black sheep of her family, she has managed to become a powerful and close ally to the princess, and you guys have never doubted her loyalty or her funds or her agenda. And so you guys had decided at the end of the 2 day stakeout, you know, this one isn't doing much, isn't leaving the house. We hook up with Marolia. She sends in her men, thins out the ranks, and it's time to charge into this warehouse where we believe she's being held. That's how those days played out. Inside of 2 days, was there anything else? And this will become relevant before we cap this season. Is there anything else you guys thought you need to get your hands on? And I'm not talking about I need more crossbow bolts, or, oh, we all buy crossbows because, you know, look at this, we don't have horses. Fire the volley, like whatever you guys want to do.
Other than send a message to home to father and grandfather, because I'm sure as far as they understand, I was off to the gala,
mm-hmm.
where many people perished.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So just sending word of assurance that I'm still among the living.
Okay. Sir Winston.
Yes.
What about you?
What about me?
Was there anything going on with you, anything outside? Because there were points in those 2 days where you guys were left alone to your own devices.
This is Winston you're talking about. No.
Okay.
I probably went and got some new clothes because I needed something that fit me. After using all of my bulk.
New clothes that fit you.
AKA wealth.
Yeah, the traveling purse is no more, right? So it's like, oh.
Yes, I know. And my potential love interest might not even recognize me with my newfound hotness.
Yeah, who's the skinny guy sobbing, going, how could you, how could you? She's really confused. Oh, I think she's worried about the giant gash that Varth opened up across her throat that has almost cost her life, thanks to a crit. And you guys said you didn't like crit cards. You guys almost beheaded the boss on one card. If she hadn't made that one saving throw of a fort save, that's pretty nasty. But then again, what happens to the bad guys with these cards could have been drawn for you. Would have been irony if it would have been Leon, you know, the samurai with the head cut off. I'm actually really glad that Leon didn't pull that card. Yep. You fumble your bow shot and somehow someone takes your head. But, you know, okay, that would have been difficult to play out. All right. So, what? How about Fafal? I mean, between you, me, and the audience, everyone, you know, cover your ears. Between you, me, and the audience, I'm pretty sure that you've subtly hinted that Fafal serves Fafal first, and Frank's character, yes, Gildivar, second. So
that's the way it appears, yes.
Yeah. I'm just curious, does Fafal have an agenda? Are you trying to work your way and stay in the Sovereign Court's good graces, possibly for protection? I mean, if you're following our Mummy's Mask series, there is a certain matter of a curse that either by this point, 2 years later, has been resolved, and we can't say if it has or hasn't because we haven't played through that part yet. Or like whether it's a fresh new day, fresh new land, fresh new country to exploit. You know, you're working your way into social circles. You got yourself your little band of cavaliers to look after you. There is that sort of spy network of the Pathfinder Society with Gorelia Merlia that you have tagged a couple times. I'm just curious, possibly in the future, is that a path to become a Pathfinder that you might pursue under the Sovereign Court faction?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's what Fafal's about, all spies and intrigue, so...
Well, there is the Osirian faction. Now, even though you're born of Katapesh, which is the neighboring sort of Arabic country, the Egyptian Osirian country has an actual faction under the Sapphire Sapphire Sage. And no offense, but with your, shall we say, exotic humanoid nature, you would blend in far easier there than being here. Though I suppose you would be the perfect distraction to work with her agents, you know. That kind of thing.
Not only that, but I'm never going back to the desert. If I have a choice, my feet is never touching sand again.
I'm only going to say that without revealing too much about the Curse of Beset, that we'll just say he's allergic to cats, right? For right now. Whether you got that, you know, even if we reveal in that show or this one later that the curse had been resolved, I'm still going to make you deathly allergic to cats.
Absolutely.
It's just a thing that was left over, right? Or, you know, there's a bunch of felines that are looking at you funny everywhere you go. But technically the curse was as long as you touched, you know, the sands, Osirian sand. Or, you know, have you ever tried this? You ever like hit a beach in Teldor just to see if you heard any meowing?
No.
No. Like, I noticed when you like wiggled out of that, when we first brought you on the scene and you wiggled out of that little porthole, you know, there was, yeah. You swam like over to the beach and like he rode down and picked you up to the horse and you're like, great, you know, totally miss touching the beach, the sandy beach, that kind of thing. So
Fafal don't fuck with no curse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
no, we don't do experimentation.
It's the little things. Now on record. Your character. And again, this is a shameless plug for those that haven't watched or listened to our Mummy's Mask, The Man from Osirian. You've died twice, and the curse has brought you back, and yet remains to haunt you. You've woken up in the desert twice, having to sort of reset your life as all part of this curse. So I'm curious, do you have a private agenda here? Is there a, you know, make your own title, just get my own money, ride Varth's coattails for protection? Is there something going forward for you in the nobility of spy world? Or just, I don't know, if there's anyone we're like looking for world domination, I just figured we'd hit up Fafal going,
what does Fafal want to be when he grows up?
Exactly. Like, you are like the servant.
To be rich and live the lavish life. That's it. Just looking to make some money. And if he can do that by swindling rich, stuck-up nobles, that's exactly what he's going to do.
Okay.
And the best way to do that, and to do it without being caught, is to ride the coattails of a paladin. You know, of a very noble, upstanding guy. Saren Ray this, the order of that.
Yeah,
the best way to do it.
We made him a paladin. He just hit third level and is, you know, hasn't performed his first miracle, but, you know, I think it's an age thing and performance anxiety thing for Frank, but, you know, he'll get there. He'll get there. Try it.
Paladin-like. It's fine.
Well, I actually really like the role play that you and Frank were putting in where you could just cure light wounds and he's, like, fighting to do a lay on hands. And you're
speaking
like, I got
of
this.
Frank, Lord Samish Gildevarth seems to have appeared in Fantasy Grounds.
I know. I'm just waiting for him to show up in Zoom. There he is. So we can hit him up with the same question. Hi, Frank. Hey, thanks for coming out. And by the way, Lord Varth, if that is your real name.
Vizoth here.
It is not. It is Gildevarth, fool.
Lord Gildevarth. Yeah, I just kind of call him Varth for short.
Aha.
We were discussing freezing the combat in time, getting Aiden caught up to what he missed, and the 2 days that you guys spent staking out Lady what's her name's house, working with Marilla, and any personal agenda, anything you would have gone off on your own. Sir Bartholomew sent a message home, Fafal's working all kinds of angles for his master plan to take over the world, you know, that kind of thing. Was there anything personal for you?
I think really what I would have done was try to maintain slash establish any kind of contact with family.
Okay.
You know, because the whole civil war brewing kind of bodes ill for my family line. So I'm just like, how's the family? Is the house still there? Did it get burned down yet? No.
Is Aunt Jude trying to mail the cat away still?
Yeah. Right.
I know only the maids worship Saren Rae, but now I'm a full on paladin. Like, do you come out with your faith to your family? There's a scene I'd like to play out in the future, possibly.
Oh yeah, I don't think I was ever like, you know, trying to hide his faith or anything like that. I mean, low key, absolutely. I mean, because you don't want to go screaming from the rooftops something that could be traitorous.
It's not like it's on your shield. Oh, wait a minute. No, it is.
Wait a minute. It is, right? And that's the point. But I'm not going to go proselytizing in the streets.
Hmm.
But hey, if somebody asks, you're there, do you worship Saren Rae? I'm be like, well,
yeah. No, you got your little badge going on that, you know, just shows, you know, you got your little paladin thing going on. No, I can totally get it. Now, the day you were saved as a child, the maids, your brother, probably your father, all know this, and they probably accept your religion because it had a huge impact on your life. Obviously, you know, that kind of thing. Nobles in the area, well, if you own enough land, you don't really need to worry about neighbors. Coming to the capital, shrines have recently reopened, but they are kind of being poo-pooed, right? And we talked about the time between our prologue series and the first season of Crownfall, what you're up to, and you were talking about, you know, like just wearing it proud, you know, that kind of thing, and putting up with the harassment of some nobles, and really finding some true colors in the nobility gentry class and in the servant class of who is accepting or being a total douche about this religion returning.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you can't forget, like, 500 years is a long time to really hate the neighboring country, which is kind of like Persia, Kadira, as well as the religion they brought, and to have it slowly, you know, eking back where it might even become fashionable. And you could be this trendsetter. You could be one of these people that, you know, are martyred, if I can kill you.
Hipster.
Hipster, right? The proto-hipster. He was wearing...
Those damn coffee drinkers.
I was worshiping Saren Rae before it was cool.
Yeah, before the shrines came back. It was on my shield since I was 8. Before I could lift a shield, I had it emblazoned on there with my allowance, right? You're the proto-hipster. So, I'm assuming as you came out of the dungeon, we revealed your paladinship and, you know, visiting the shrines, getting to know others of the faith was kind of a given. But we didn't really talk about it. And honestly, like, sorry, audience, we don't really need to think about it because he's always saying, okay, family, this between the zero season and first, he, you know, looked after stuff. So he's obviously visiting shrines, you know, being known. And they are so grateful that a lord, obviously, of your stature is of the faithful. You know, they definitely want you to sort of be the poster boy. Or they haven't invited you as clergy, though, to attend an inner circle. But now, as a full-on paladin that can perform miracles, that has the aura, you know, you might get to go to the hot tub parties. And who knows, the Saren Rae, the Sun Beach. You know, they know all the really good beach spots for tanning, obviously. You know, that kind of thing.
Maybe when I get high enough level, I can actually do some of those cool paladin things. But right now, I really can't do anything.
No, but do you have any plans? This is one of the reasons why I broke combat, not just because we're waiting for you and Jay, but just curious, a taste for the audience, since we're really close to capping season one, and be a little while for
you. You mean as far as character gen goes?
Yeah, like as far like rise in the gentry in Tal'Dor, fix Tal'Dor's problems, or rise in the religion aspect of Sarenrae and keep it within Tal'Dor. Like, there's a lot of paths you could take that you've opened yourself up to. I'm just curious if there's
I think, you know, depending on how things play out, kind of restoring the religion to its rightful place. And by rightful, I don't mean as the one true religion. He's not a zealot, mm-hmm. per se. But just recognizing that good should triumph. That's kind of his thing. That good people do good things because it's the right thing to do. Not from any reward or things like that. And basically, if he's got a message to proselytize, that would be it. And that's hopefully how I've played him throughout, is to try to not be a goody two shoes, but just be a genuinely good person.
Yeah, you've definitely been the party conscious. Not to mention, like, our firm samurai in law and honor is sort of a silent stoic reminder that, you know, you do have backing. Speaking of honor, with his military tradition, you also have Bartholomew, you know, and Winston has sort of a positive outlook on, you know, if he and Bartholomew can rise to the gentry. So you've maybe without even trying, has surrounded yourself with people that can influence or stand by, you know. None of them worship. However, none of you guys have ever spoken in character, or as far as I know as players, about how each feels in religion. Okay, Frank has his religion, great, or sorry, Lord Vildivarth. We there's the Arrowden, the ghost of Arrowden that hangs over the entire country, because that god was the big god back in the day, and now the god's dead, and yet there are still churches. We haven't visited one. You know, that kind of thing. Is it just something we don't talk about?
I mean, you know, from Gildervar's point of view, they may not openly say that they worship Sarenrae, but knowing that they foster goodly acts and deeds, that's good enough for him. I mean, you know, deeds speak a thousand words. You don't have to tell me you're a good person.
Yeah, we totally don't scoff when he's like, for Sarenrae, you know what I mean? So he's just assuming.
Okay. All right. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Righto.
We're solid bros in that. We back you up.
Right, every time he goes to charge for Sarenrae, yeah, he's probably used to it.
Yeah. You know, like, what is it? The Evil Dead? Yeah, we said the words. Gildervarth.
Go, Gildervarth. So my question for you now, gentlemen, as I restart the battle music and proclaim that we are at the top of round two with Wisilka the Fabtabulous turn pending. She is out of reach, so does not need to defensively cast, and casts a spell, a dark whispered murmur on her clown painted little lips, and making a sort of ritualistic gesture with the dagger in her hand. A dagger of pure light and force appears at your neck, hovering beside you, and instantly takes a swipe as her spiritual weapon. Da, 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 da. How's it go with you? The question is, does it hit? Did it hit? Did I pull the spell out last week?
Yeah. I think you did cast the spell last week. She took one swipe and missed.
I think that's how it went.
That was last round. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I believe that is the case.
Yeah. So, with me using... Let's jump to last week, Frank, when you weren't here, where we did the Sawback tournament. We're finally doing the tournament, and like Matt and I are so into it, and we've got Ryan on the door with his character there on the door, and he goes in his day one of the tournament, and he's doing all this stuff, and it's like, roll a wisdom check to like a DC of 10, really
easy. Oh, and I flopped it.
And he rolls a 5. And he's like, you're out. And there's like this terrible silence, and he goes off to like the rope to join the crowd, all this stuff. Anyway, I pull a fan-based cold point that I've been sitting on from one of our patrons to spend, and this is Now, you know, and it saved him. It allowed him to re-roll said check, and he got it and stayed in the tournament. But I didn't turn back time going, oh, you made it. I actually played it forward where someone had dropped out and he could get back in. And this was, you know, the type of thing.
Okay, cool.
Which, funny enough, was in the script. If someone drops out, like if you guys get booted out, someone will drop out. It's $2,000 to get back in. I think you had to pay the $2,000. I wasn't making it up. I was just drawing from the future. You know, oh, no. Thank you. All wonderful GM tricks. But so that people don't think that this game is pay-to-play to make you guys easily succeed, they can use these points to screw with you or to help the bad guy. And I'm sitting on a point that was asked to hinder the Dice Before Dishonor cast, and I had to wait for a named boss fight. And here it is. So I am spending that point now to re-roll with Skilthos the Fantabulous' attack on you with much dun-dun drama against Lord Varth. Let's make sure I got you targeted here.
All right.
And unfortunately, it missed. So despite loading...
I don't know who spent that gold coin, but suck it!
No malice.
Now, aren't you, like, by law required to reveal the spender of said point?
And their address and their social insurance number.
Dox this guy.
And their Twitch handle name, you know?
Saren Ray's retribution will not be. All right.
Did he spend that point anonymously?
No.
Can I? If we guess it right, do we get a hero point?
And their address.
Well, if you must know, if you must know, during said Star Wars game, you know, Gamma Knight, our buddy Coop, was all about, you know, you getting screwed over in that tournament. Yeah, wait, how much to, you know, send him back and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so I spoke with him.
Such a nice guy, that Coop. Well, so polite and just as, like as caring about us as players.
As a poll to our patron, we advertised on Twitter and Twitch recently that if anyone ups their patronage, like by any amount, finds us a brand new patron, even if they're not a patron themselves, we will allow one full month for them to enjoy the benefits at our top tier, which is the $20 tier. So to pay Coop back for, and let's just say there was some finagling and purchase of t-shirts and him post-dating, like dating when he came in, and the fact that he did claim the idea in the first place. I am awarding this spending his point, and even though he is not a top tier patron, we do appreciate him.
His month
benefit has been spent, and he can mess with you no more, unless he starts bringing us, you know, new blood. Please check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/rollmongers and see what we're about. Help keeping our show going, how you can interact with the show, how you can obviously affect it. Obviously, the Dagger of Force isn't doing it. It's like ping ping, rego ping ping, not doing very well, that type of thing. But a little extra treat to reward our patrons, because for one of the biggest reasons, we do not really have hidden content. We have content that's released earlier to them. We have bonus content, like Matt and his awesome Star Wars Hawaiian shirt that went to the patrons first before I put it on Instagram lately. It's become our most liked Instagram picture ever.
Dude, I found another Star Wars shirt, but I can only wear the other Star Wars shirt if I go dark side. So.
Oh, okay. That won't take long. You are leading us in dark side points. Anyway, enough of promos and stuff. Just to say that we are trying to balance a Patreon. But also, if you're not a patron, it's fine. You are getting all of our content eventually, and our content will forever be free. We will not have a secret podcast just for patrons. However, they can get stuff early, help us immensely, and get discounts on our merchandise and much more. Please check it out. Barkley, you're up for fall. You're on deck. What do you want to do? Barkley, I'm assuming you're just waiting.
Barkley awaits for Winston's commands.
Yeah, okay. So
might as well drop my initial.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just thinking, I was like, why do I have him up there in his own?
Because technically he has his own initiative.
Yeah. So, which brings us to Fafal. 6 hit points of wounds, hiding around the corner. You see yourself there, Aiden, in your little corner there?
I see myself.
The battle has not been going on long. We got in there, and they just appeared, little ropes, and dropped down amongst the party, and don't really seem to be caring about flanking much, because as roguish characters, they seem to uncannily dodge our attacks. Now, the guys are still getting bonuses to flank people, but they're not making said people flat-footed. And the little lady is acrobating around. However, just this last turn, with a major cut, crit card almost taking her head off from our side, and some failed high-level spells from the bad guy side, despite the fact that Bartholomew was still held in place, the tide might turn one way or the other. How would you like to push this tide?
Well, I will stroll in behind my lord.
Okay.
And seeing her bleeding from the throat. Oh, I'm surprised to see you. Aren't you a sight for sore eyes? Oh, it seems right now you really are not a cut above the rest.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
I'm going to start performing.
Oh, okay.
So, bardic performance, inspire courage. Everybody gets a +1 to attacks, damage, and will saves against specific things.
Now, do they have to be close to you? Like, despite the range of your voice, is it like a 30-foot or 60-foot radius on those?
As long as they can perceive my performance. Since it is an oratory performance, as long as they can hear me.
Well, you got great effects, sound effects here in the cave. You're dead center of the battle now that you're beside Varf. So, yeah, it's all good. I will give this bonus. So, +1 to hit, +1 to damage to all allies.
And +1 on saving throws against charm and fear effects.
Oh, well, you know what there, Mr. Hold Person? I believe a enchantment compulsion mind affecting is in... it's not a charm. There's the enchantment charm school. I will allow it, though. I believe I will allow it. Like, well, think of it like conjuring summoning as a school of magic. And it's like, well, is it listed as conjuring or summoning? This might be something that...
won't argue.
No. Well, actually, if you look up charm person or like command, those are, you know, mind charms, but they're still listed as enchantment. So +1 to your next save, sir. Well done, Fafal. Anything else, sir?
Flipper the bird while holding my rapier in the other hand.
Okay.
Very nice.
All right. Cultist number one is going to move up on Sir Winston, covering the guy behind him, who's moving in on Lothied, and is going to take said action against poor Mr. Willie. Coming at you with a short sword, sir, with a 15 and a miss, swiping at you, taking a step forward, and that's all he has. And now it is Sir Winston's turn.
Well, he just ruined my charge attempt. So I am going to stab him in the face with my lance. Do, 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 do. Come on, baby. Miss. And with my remaining action, I will direct Sir Barkley.
Sir Barkley. Everyone's been knighted, so if you get this, like, I want a knightship. I want a title for my mount.
Yes, but I've already been knighted, so...
you have the choice to title an underling or raise your own title, you know. Pick one or the other. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, so I will direct Barkley to attack.
All right.
And I believe that is a handle animal check.
Mm-hmm. I got Barkley targeted for you.
24.
Okay.
Sick him!
So you want Barkley to actually have a go? Does he have his bite here? Oh, yes, he does. Okay. Oh, you got it set? Okay, there you go.
Same number, 11. Miss. Yep.
All right.
Is that including the +1 to attack and damage?
Yeah, both of those would be 12, actually. So if that makes a difference.
Your handle animal of 24 is like way off the scale. As far as hitting me with a 12, no.
Okay. Sweet.
Sorry. Now,
valiant effort.
I know it's kind of bad form to call out my AC, but at this point we got so much going on. You guys are looking to hit 16 unless they're flat footed. So Leon, is looking for a shot. You guys are completely focused in what you're doing, and you guys are all sort of become body shields. So I'm going to have Leon do something that at the moment isn't quite noticeable to the rest of you and move on to Bartholomew Dunnell Dagon.
Yes.
Who is paralyzed.
Yes.
Yes. And as your turn ends, unless you have something you can do at will.
I will myself to move again. I wiggle my big toe.
All right. Give us a willpower check with a +1 modifier. You can enter, sir.
Everyone knows that Cavaliers are natural will saves champs. Mm. So in the bag with a 15.
Mm. That is close.
Do you want to use a force point?
Yes. I use all of Paul's force points.
We want to use all our force points. Those carry over, right, Jeff?
Of course they do.
Actually, I don't want to use mine in this game. If they do carry over, I need all of them for my Jedi.
I use all of Merrick's.
That's funny. sorry. I'm just double checking. I'm going off of wisdom here. It's a 3, so 15 is actually, if it was not for his song, you would have failed. And you managed nice. to break free at the end of your turn. So unfortunately nice. You have to wait, but he, you know, the shoulders slump and such a cramp in the calf, you know, that kind of thing. That's kind of funny because Jay's not here and I just kind of froze Leon and Bartholomew, like, tag, you know, makes the save. So that's what we're going to go with. I don't want to hear you bitching about being short a guy because you just got one back. Lord Samish Gildervarth.
Can you unflatfoot me?
Oh, uh-huh.
I know, right?
And while you're in that menu, unparalyze me.
Yes. Fine. And that's a full round action. So moving on. No, sorry. What do you want to do, sir?
I'm going to take a 5-foot step.
Yes.
And then I'm going to hack slash silent cultist 3.
The full round action of hack and then slash.
Yes. Yes.
We've not seen in a long time. Okay.
Hang on. How do I untarget her and target that one? Sweet.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. Master of Longsword. So this would be one higher. I just don't want to add the...
Hey, Fafal, Aiden Willems was our original rules lawyer before we brought him in. Would you look up something for me on the wiki, please?
I can.
I am a war priest, and I have this great ability that I've been saving, and I'm pretty sure I need to use it right now, very soon, called Unholy Strike. If you could find a war priest's Unholy Strike for me.
Yeah, sure.
That would be great. Notice how I drop that bomb now, isn't like, you know, sort of reveal. Dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Suspense. Build some suspense until.
Yeah. So I swung and missed. Whilst Fafal looks that up.
All right. Got it.
Okay. So we'll come back to it if she managed to, you know.
Drops to you privately.
Okay. Awesome. So, sorry, Varth.
5-foot step, swing, miss. I'm done.
And you're swinging at the guy or me?
At Silent Cultist 3, the one that's currently threatening Lady Martella.
Oh, okay. So you actually want to go north.
That's what I did. I took a 5-foot step to the north.
Okay. I just didn't see it on your mini there.
You're targeting Whisk.
Yeah.
I was right there.
Right. You're going to go
And
up.
I was, yep. So I dropped Silent Cultist 2. Bartholomew has freed himself from the evil spell, so now I've taken a 5-foot step, and I'm defending this other person. Or doing my best. Because Bartholomew has entered the battlefield.
I have.
Okay, with a 9, you would have missed the cultist anyway, but we will get you some retargets. Okay. Now, you say you drop cultist 2. Oh, right. I got him here. Right, okay. I'm surprised. Right. They haven't deleted him because he actually got to 0 where he's unconscious. So he's laying there, but they haven't asked. They haven't offered me the sort of, you know, please
Are
delete.
Are you sure?
Delete the token kind of thing. Well, he's a body. He's there. I guess I should leave him there because he's difficult terrain.
He's loot.
Yeah.
That's preferable terrain.
Okay. So a step and anything else from Varth?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Lady Martella, not doing well. Silent Contest 2. Silent Cultist number 2 remains silent as he's not speaking to you for certain reasons, personal reasons. All right. Here we are. The moment of truth. Can one perform a full round action without provoking attack of opportunity?
No. You can do it,
yeah.
But it does provoke an attack of opportunity.
So... coup de grace provokes, but regular full round actions do not.
Depends on the action, yes.
Right. So find me. Scour the net. Because as far as I know, it's like coup de grace performed as a full round action. Full round actions do not provoke. However, coup de grace might specifically so.
I know for a fact coup de grace provokes an attack of opportunity. Yes.
Yeah, and it's not that full round actions don't. It's some full round actions don't. Anything with the manipulate trait or attack trait would provoke, and I would think that coup de grace is an attack.
He moves up on the prisoner. You know, he's going to do his thing. Right?
So ye old Heinz?
Yeah, puts the dagger in the Heinz ketchup position. You know, that kind of thing. And then does something really strange. Varth, you're looking right at him. You're ready. You're coming in with the sword. Like, you know, don't you do it kind of thing. Right? Uh-huh. Okay. Holds up his dagger, right? And it looks like he's going for it. And he doesn't perform the action. Okay. A perception check. A quick look around that no one's looking. Okay. And he flips his dagger over to like a safe position. Right?
Stabs himself.
Gives you the figure and flips his lapel and shows you a badge hiding underneath his lapel. It is a phoenix, wings spread. Knowledge local, knowledge... no, I guess it would be local because it's an actual faction.
Okay. I am not great at that. I got a 12.
The Sovereign Court, Lady Marilla. The people they sent to thin out the ranks. This guy has a chance to kill her. He had a chance 3 rounds ago. I could have just moved right up and went, nobody move, you know, or she gets it. Mm-hmm. He didn't. He just kind of like sauntered up, waved at a couple guys going, no, I'm going to get her. You guys attack, that kind of thing. Held back from the battle so far and pulls out his dagger and looks like he's going for it. You come charging over. He flips the dagger, gives you this kind of thing over the top of the pummel and then leans in and just so that you can see, shows you the pin. And a big wink.
Okay.
Okay. And then just kind of holds up his hands and holding the dagger in a sort of a semi-surrender of like two fingers. He doesn't let it go, but he's, you know, holding the gun with two fingers going, eh? Right?
Okay.
And then...
I dig it.
And then he, you know, gets into the sort of this circling Star Trek mano a mano pose with you. Like, okay, let's make this look good. You know, that kind of thing. So, anyway. To anyone else, he's hesitating to strike her or you. It's a 6-second thing. I might try to pretend to attack you or take your head off, you know, but obviously not interested in killing Lothied at the moment and does not do anything to provoke. So that is round two. Gentlemen, round three begins with Wilsilka the Fabulous. Let's contemplate the dark blessings of Thilmar Gix, the god of murder and nasty little things. I contemplate using my ability. Well, her dagger suddenly takes on the quick prayer and a slight cut to the palm over the blade, and as a light dripping of blood douses the blade in an obvious dark ritual and a promise to her dark deity, the weapon takes on a black and orange visage and aura, and it seems to not grow bigger but seem far more menacing as it twists and looks like it would edge, like the edge becomes more jagged like an assassin's dagger does, the you know, becomes, goes from looking like a kitchen knife to a Bowie knife, like it looks much nastier, like it would do far more damage. I invoke this priest's blessing
God bless you on
my weapon.
All right.
But I have a better ability. What seems like an unholy strike or a nasty blessing can be turned, like revved up to turn my weapon sacred. And as she's doing this blessing, she changes it. She sort of adds a little forte at the end of the prayer. And the blade sort of takes on, the blood congeals into a dark unholy symbol on the center of the blade. And she comes forth, facing off with a little tumble towards... Actually, you know what? She's actually going to retreat. Let's come down here to the bottleneck. 5, 10, 20. Yeah, I'm actually going to disappear out of eyesight with my movement. 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. Yep, she disappears around the corner. casts a dark ritual on her blade and bolts into the adjacent chamber. Fafal, it is your turn, sir. What do you do?
Okay, quick question.
Yep.
What is she wearing?
She is actually wearing the Harlequin outfit, the red and black and white. You know, she even carries Duke Squiggles, the puppet, still. And, you know, besides pouches in your adventuring gear and these layers possibly concealing armor. I can show you her picture again.
Yeah, perfect.
Sorry. Where are my pictures? I don't see her. Oh, here we are. The first picture I showed was her smiling, performing. This is her, you know, literally with a mocking bow, the old dagger pummeled weapon, you know, mostly red and crimsons, little striped pants, and what looks like spats with bells on them over top of her barefooted feet, because she is a halfling.
Fair. Perfect. All right, well, I'm going to quickly look over all of my teammates. You know, make sure none of them are about to, you know, pass out on me. And then I'm going to follow her 5, 10.
Okay. Heal check, perception at the very least.
Yep.
If you definitely want to do, because, like, I mean, they have spells that take actions to, like, tune yourself into everyone's health or whatever. So that's definitely more than just a glance if you want to discern, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, just as long as, you know, there's no huge pools of blood at anybody's feet, it's fine. 5 on perception.
Okay. Everyone is in the position you have claim, and everyone is fighting except for Leon. Now, Leon has bow drawn, arrow knocked, and he's going from, it looks like he's deciding on a target. He's like trying to, it looks like he's trying to get past Winston on that cultist, and then he's kind of like pointing at you. You know what I mean? But you assume, yeah, he was trying to get a bead on the girl who just ran off. And he looks kind of pissed, you know? He's just standing there like Hawkeye. Everyone's in a battle. You got your back to him, and he's mumbling something like, no one would know. You know, that just kind of thing going on there. And then you glance over, and he just kind of changes target back to the other cultist.
Gotcha. So,
but as far as you know, you're good.
All right. Then follow her 15 feet down.
Okay.
Just see her. I'm going to call out.
Yep.
You're running away.
Your dark vision reveals her. Actually, she does like a trick where she bolts off, and it makes it look like or sound like she's gone deep in the cave, where actually she's sort of tight on a position where she's bottlenecking, like, you know, only one can engage her at a time kind of thing, so she's going to get flanked.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's standing in the open, but she's actually, like, done the wide run. Here's a big show, come get me. Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's an obvious trick of, like, trying to bait you and pull you in. And then you come around the corner and you're going to get clocked. You know, you get that obvious look. But instead of charging in like the Cavaliers, you step out into the open, don't go into the bottleneck, and with your dark vision, you can see her form lying in wait. No hide check, because that would be extra actions of bluff and stuff, but she has sort of, is moving tactically, obviously. But that street run kind of crap, that alley stuff, even though you're not a warrior, is like roguish behavior 101. So I'm, you know, kind of leaning into your
flat. First time I've seen it. Not the first time I've pulled it either.
Exactly. It's a Slayer thing, you know. Lead them in. Tactically sound. Yeah.
Pull them in. Cut the throat. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so again, what are you running? Oh, that's very disappointing. I will point at her.
Do you maintain your
performance? Yes, I do.
Okay.
As
a move action, or can you move while performing?
Yeah, it's a free action to maintain.
Yep.
Okay.
He's like, and it's a hip hop, a hip hop, and you don't stop.
And there she is. Yep. What are you doing there, stopping? Right at the open, pointing at her. Okay. I gotcha.
Yep. And I'm going to point at her and make me a will save.
Okay, if you cast a spell, that does end your...
No. It shouldn't, but either way, I have spell song, so I can perform... Or I can conceal the act of casting a spell by making it a performance.
Oh, okay, that works, that's fine, okay. That so calling upon that ability...
Yep.
What do you cast?
Well, let's see the will save first, and then I'll tell you. DC 12.
I think you forget who's on what screen side. I'm gonna roll it openly. It's not like I'm gonna fudge this.
Well, no, I'm aware. I think it'd be way funnier.
All right, I'll give it to you. You did miss quite a bit. So calling up, but you know what? There's also that deciding and changing bits. So
okay, Matt has already correctly guessed it by miming it. I am casting.
I totally know what he's doing.
All right.
I'm going to try and pants with Silka. That would be hilarious.
So mean. All right. What's the DC on this? I'm afraid to ask.
DC 12 will save.
Okay. Will save of natural 20 plus 28. So all of a sudden, like, all of her laces just kind of go, like, start opening up, and her eyes go wide, and she gives you this horrid look. But she, you know, the Mr. Squiggles, Duke Squiggles, right? She claps him down on her belt so before her pants fall, and shall we say, interrupts the spell before the last knot unties and they actually fall. So they're not loose, but they were, you know, they were obviously loosening, you know. And it's not a dexterity thing. That was just, you know, like for flavor. She just looks at you like, damn you. But that's good. Pants the bad guy. Because I've always talked about that. I actually asked for that kind of, I didn't think you'd do it to the little halfling evil war priest of, but yeah.
Well, I wanted to do it to the rat that was up in the ceiling, but he was 60 feet away.
You know, we could say you are an equal opportunist. You are the guy that, I believe, as you put it, kicked Lady Trant in the cooch.
Yes.
Back there. So there's no hards barred. Get it? Yeah. No holds.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone that's your enemy is an enemy. Okay. Anything else, sir?
No, that is my turn.
All right. Silent Cultist number one. Going to have a swing at Sir Bartholomew on his mount, and with a 16 misses. Really? What's your AC, buddy? I'm just curious. Did I get close?
Let me see here.
Hold 18. On a second. I got
yeah, it's 18. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Then.
I'm a ninja.
That was all that coins. He just makes like that bag dropping on the table money every time he stabs you. He's like, there's so many coins still left in there.
There are no coins left.
Anyway, he takes a stab at you and then takes a 5-foot step because I am to the north because I am aware of the impending danger of Varth and he's, you know, stepping around. Sir Winston, you are up, sir.
All right. I'm going to just carbon copy last round. Take a stab at him with my lance.
Carbon copy.
It's, yep.
Sorry, so exciting. Carbon copy, rinse, repeat.
But I will also take a 5-foot step. I believe I have that in my repertoire.
Yep.
So I'll take my 5-foot step over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prevent flanking or whatever. Don't know what his plan is.
How much terrain must enter a square before you're considered squeezing? I'm thinking it's got to be 25 to 30, and I think I'm only looking at about 10 or 20%. So in case anybody watching this is going, look, he's on a wall, he's squeezing. I don't think it fills enough the square for that.
Sweet. And that would be a 16, because I forgot to factor the...
The plus one?
The plus one.
Yep, that is a hit, sir. Before you do damage, let's... I see, you've got him targeted, you just forgot the bonus. Okay.
Yep. And I'll remember the bonus on damage, though. Bang.
Yep.
Cha. So there's 6 points of damage. And then I will encourage my homeboy, Barkley, to give a little nip.
Now, Barkley does not understand what's being projected, so Barkley would not get the plus one to attack, because he needs to understand the performance, and he doesn't. So
seems legit. You know what I mean? I concur. Doesn't need it anyways. Nom, nom, nom.
Actually, you know what? Come to think of it, I mean, you can train a dog to get excited to song and dance or whatever. So, yeah, no, actually, that he might actually qualify. You can get a pet excited with actions and emotion. So, yeah, no, I'd give it to him. Not that your 17 needs any more.
Yep. See, he noms for 3 points of damage and makes a trip attempt. Successful trip attempt of a 13 roll. Grabs him by the ankle, gives his head a twist.
And Silent Cultist 1 becomes tripped and is prone. Yes?
Yeah, is that how it works?
It's a trip attempt, so he goes down. You yank his legs out from under him after attacking him.
Yes.
And I am now considered prone.
Oh. Yeah, it's the bite and pull.
Yeah, nicely done.
He's a beast. Barkley is the best.
You guys are still, you know, that duo. Leon is sweating and blinking and trying to focus, and still the bow goes left to right.
To left to right.
No, something, you know, either you got, he's just waiting for a clear shot or something begins to vex him. Sir Bartholomew, finally free. To the north of you, a lady in distress. Beside you, Varth and a guy are in some kind of tense stalemate of wills where Varth seems to be daring him to act and take the lady, you know, because he knows you hurt her, I will hurt you kind of moment. And you need to sort of 180 yourself. You know, your head is finally free. Rip around, and sure enough, that thud you kind of heard behind you is a guy lying beside you, difficult terrain. You heard, and now turn and see, Fafal at the South Cave, pointing off into the darkness. What do you want to do?
He actually sees Wasilica because he has dark vision.
He does. The edge of the mini, as it were. But I'm just lining up. Yeah, sorry, I was thinking of, like, shooting her, because Fafal's in the way. She's smaller. Anyway.
At this moment, I'll take a quick look over my shoulder at Stamish.
Mm-hmm.
Have that 2 seconds of eye-to-eye contact. Nod.
Okay.
And then charge into the darkness, which most people call darkness, but for me, it's the black and whiteness.
Okay.
And I would like to... I don't have a clear line, so I can't... It's not a technical charge. But it would be...
No, because you got to go through allies and around the sharp corner.
It's a metaphorical charge.
Correct. It's a...
Striding through allies, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the impartial charge of 10, 15.
Okay. So when you get to him, which you're here, I need to see your movement. So you go from that square, mm-hmm. you have two mm-hmm. choices, through the bard or along the edge. Where you're like you're you know, doing the
I would go
thing.
Through Fafal because he's ally.
Yeah, and he's an open space. Okay, so from here, where do you want to go? You want to go beside him?
Southeast.
So you want to step through him just to fill the square in the bottleneck where she is?
Yes, please. Okay. If that is possible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I would like to swing.
Okay. The ground before you erupts in a sigil.
Ah!
Oh, damn.
Got this. It's a will save. I've totally got this.
Right? As if you had set off some sort of magical trap. Or
it's
such.
A trap card. Damn it. Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's a trap.
Damn tarps.
Can I have a reflex save, please?
Oh, everyone knows cavaliers are natural reflex saves. Oh, hey, 20, not natural.
You're not supposed to sound surprised if you make it.
Sorry. I'll work on that in the future. In the meantime, holy shit.
So, you step forth and you see her, and that little wicked grin is a hint of danger. And before you actually see the details of the glyph, the bottom of your proverbial eye line lights up. You sense and see ambient light coming from the ground, and an old move that Grandpa told you, you dig in your heel and just scrape the ground in a weird angle, dismerching said glyph before it fully forms, and it just dies out and fizzles, not completely affecting you.
And for the doodle daggins! And I swing at her face.
And you take 2 points of non-lethal damage instead of the full brunt.
Which is preferable.
And swing away.
Yes.
Sorry, let me target her for you. Oh, no, she's not. I think I already... Yeah, you're good.
And you get a battle axe to the face. And you get a battle axe to the face. Oh, wait, I get a +1 to this, cause thanks to Fafal and his amazing tenor. Blah. 17. Isn't that a miss?
It's a miss. Dodge, it's... dodge and a weave. A boss fight does not have a crappy AC. Very close. Now, and you added the plus one in there?
I did. I added the modifier in.
Very close. There is that, you know, swing for the diddle dagon type of thing, and she literally does the Matrix thing where she just sort of bends in half backwards and watches the blade pass over her nose kind of thing. Oh, if only Winston and Leon saw that move going, oh, that's what we were trying to do back there in the performance at the gala. A swing and a miss, sir. And I believe you are done, yes?
Yes.
Lord Samish Gildavarth, what to do? The man, is he an ally? Is he just somebody that stole a pin?
I don't know. I'm going to take a 5-foot step.
Okay.
And let's see. I will sense motive? Question mark?
Yeah.
No, I'll just wave him away. Step
no,
away.
No, that's completely legit. Give me a sense motive. Because, well, here's the thing, right? You know agents were sent to wipe them out or infiltrate or something. So that's to his benefit. However, only a lone agent made it inside and they just accept him with the disguise? How else would he get a pin if not from the Sovereign Crown?
But then again,
what if he just took the pin from Lothied? I mean, it's true, you never saw Lothied and Marilla together, but Lothied is the princess's closest ally, and you did see, remember the bee incident where you were going after the Toblerone board behind the guard, right? Lady Gorilla was cuddled up to Princess Stavian herself. You know, maybe these two must know each other. You know, maybe she has the pin, you know, as a secret ally, that kind of thing, and they just took it off her. With a 28, okay.
You stare into their soul.
is he bluffing? Is this some kind of fake out? Well, now that we're down to it, where's my bluff? 24 to his 28. It was a very convincing act, but your orders were, don't go in until my men clear the perimeter. There was nothing mentioned about them infiltrating the inside. That was your job. So the likeliness is this guy is trying to fake you out with a pin as one last sort of, haha, sucker. You don't think he's, you know, the real deal. He's a very smart cultist and pulled a really good move at the end to get you to literally back off, but no. Possibly seeing through his ruse.
All right, well, then he must die.
Okay. 5 foot up to the north to bring yourself right along beside him.
Yep.
Dangerously placing your clothes yourself to the back of the other. But Winston's got this in the bag. Who's pro? Yeah, who went down. So you step on it, right?
Ah, another swing at him and a miss. Damn it.
You step up there. Anyway.
He's prone.
He's swinging at the guy with the pin. Waiting your decision. And because it is a bluff, I'm hoping you buy it, but I don't believe you'll buy it. And he dances and dodges out of the way as you take a sudden swing at him. And that brings us to... Who's next? Who's next? Lady Lothied. Still out of it. Silent Cultist 2 remains unconscious. And a bump in the road. Silent Cultist 3 repositions himself. Now, you remember there was that fake sparring or whatever, right? He's still in that position, but comes at you in earnest, Lord Varth, since obviously the jig is up, and comes at you with your dagger. And you parry and thrust with my crappy 9. Round 4. Will Silka the Fabulous, squaring off now with a measure of respect for the great big warrior that she took as the biggest threat, isolated, immobilized, and now has come back here, not falling for her trap where she was trying to lure somebody back in here and have the tactical advantage of a trap plus the bottleneck where only one of you can face off with her. Very nimble, very dangerous little war priestess. Now turning her full attention on you, sir. Changes her target from Varth to Bartholomew.
That was her mistake for taking me off of her target.
And comes at you with an 18.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yes. Big heavy man with a big shield. Clang, clang.
Tink.
Tink. And then... Oh, I think I'll hold my ground. Fafal.
Trap two. My dear, you are really disappointing me. Truly. Oh, well. Bartholomew, good luck. I'm going to slap him on the back while casting a spell. I'm going to cast Vanish on him.
Oh, wow.
The spell functions like invisibility, except the effect only lasts for one round per caster level.
Sorry,
like invisibility, the spell immediately ends if the subject attacks any creature.
And or if he attacks somebody. But he will get an additional plus two to hit as attacking as a visible creature.
And unless if she perceives him, she is flat-footed.
Four set attack.
Yep. Yes.
Unless so, I have uncanny dodge or something.
Perhaps.
Right, because uncanny dodge does not work against flanking. It is cannot be flat-footed. She just reacts that quickly. However, still giving bonuses and nicely done. The invisible half-orc is certainly is a good. That's a new one. That's a good one. I gotta say, and I'm laughing because there's Ryan with his mic muted doing a double pump-fisted. Woo, woo, woo. He's getting very excited.
Oh, but imagine the cinematography of this. Like, just, yeah, like the movie scene. He's just like, "Good luck, my friend." Blink, Puff. Gone.
She disintegrated.
Half-orc, gone.
My God, Fafal disintegrated him. You saw it.
Good luck in the next life.
Yeah. Comes back around loud. Didn't like it there. Too many clouds and couches. My fight is not done.
So standard action.
Yep.
Touch him.
Mm-hmm.
Move action. Study her.
Okay.
Continue my performance. Well, come and get me.
All right. Bringing us to Silent Cultist number one, who has been beat up, bitten, and prone. Well. Kip up, kip up, kip up. Come on, kip up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Do I have anything? Do I have anything? All right.
Has a tip of a lance at his throat.
I can still... You pull, you bite, you trip. He's not held. He's not grappled. Nice cinematography, but it's not a auto. It's not auto. However, you know what he does do? He falls over, a hand comes up, and clutches at his chest as he grabs a Divine Focus, and I will defensively cast a spell.
That provokes, does it not?
Not if I can't. If I successfully cast defensively.
Can you successfully cast defensively while prone?
Yeah.
Cool. Good to know.
Well, it's verbal and somatic. Right, and as long as I have my arms free in front of me, being on my ass, you know. Now, I think there might be obviously a penalty because I can't move around.
I don't think there's any penalty for casting defensively while prone. I don't think so.
Well, whatever comes up will be because I have the prone condition. So if there is something, it should be, you know. So yeah, here we go. Yeah. So here's my defensive cast of a 7. Shit. So basically now I don't provoke. I'm wiggling so much to avoid your tech of opportunity that I eat the spell. I don't get it off.
Gas it.
Yeah, I gas the spell.
That super sucks.
He missed the Vogue action, what, you know.
What's he doing? Trying to invoke our sympathy.
Wow, wow.
So that's me.
Sure was. Yeah. I mean, is.
Anyway, now. As a standard action, I try to defensively cast a spell. As a move action, I am going to try to attempt some crazy acrobatics. Can I roll away acrobatically? Can I kip up without having the feet or whatever for it? Can I? I don't know if like, there's any sort of dice maneuver that I can. You know what I mean? Like. If I just move, if he gets up, it provokes. If I crawl, yep. It provokes.
Crying is a free action.
Well, that's a bad place to be right there.
If I might be able to crawl like 5 foot back without provoking, but the DC for the acrobatics would be like crazy high. If
you can't 5 foot crawl.
Yeah.
There's a feat called fast crawl. That's the only thing that lets you do a 5 foot move is a crawl.
Yeah.
And it's very shameful.
No. When you're crawling, you 5 foot move. Fast crawl lets you do more, but I don't think I can get away with the provoke without even with the acrobatics. So anyway, I think I'm done. Back to Winston. Yep. Just analyzing.
Does cost you one shame point though.
Shame. Yes.
Shame.
But something interesting revealed. These guys are also casters. I wonder why they didn't cast earlier.
And you know, he does this little wiggle action, and I'm just like...
piercing him in the upper shoulder blade, and he passes out unconscious from the pain with your 6 points of damage, sir.
Excellent.
And he goes limp, and his eyes roll back in his head. But he's breathing soundly. Barkley.
And I will take my move action.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is my turn.
Trample him. Difficult terrain, this. Crossing over and then lining yourself up shoulder to shoulder with Varth facing off against the phony ally. All right. Absorbed in the battle. If an arrow goes flying past your head, you missed it. Perhaps the two in the bottom think he's aiding the two at the top. The two at the top think Leon is aiding the two at the bottom.
God, he just finishes off the two that are down. He's like...
No, I can't hit them. They're prone. They actually get a +4 against my AC because it's a ranged attack. Down, down. Not doing that again. Bartholomew Dunaldagan is your turn, sir. Lord Varth, you are up next.
Mm.
Dunaldagan, what do you want to do?
I want to move around to her opposite flank. So I'm on her west. I move around to her.
Okay, that does provoke, you realize.
If she could see me, it would.
I can still possibly perceive you. 50% mischance, yada, yada, yada. It's not a freebie. I got to make some serious rolls to pull it off, but it's like, I hear you move. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So first, you know. You move, right? Yep. Wind, the noise, the blah, right? Now I have a 50% mischance, even if I... And I also have to, like, strike where I think you're going. You're in front of me. I hear movement. There's a wall beside me. She basically strikes at the square to down
she
to left.
I'm in. Yep.
Well, I think you're going to. Like, you're here, right? You suddenly vanish. It's not my turn.
Yeah.
She's about to react. I'm about to move back or whatever I'm
not
about to
do. Not contesting that at all.
You know, hear movement. Okay, so combat is free. It's loud. However... not to burn an action, but I will force the check, you know, easily seeing, hearing, whatever. And she just lunges to the left, guessing where you're going to go. And now I have a 50% mischance for the invisibility to get past, let alone if I can actually hit you.
I still don't know if that would count as an attack of opportunity. Like, on her turn, she could take those actions, but I don't think she can perceive and make an attack during a reaction. That's two actions.
No, that's an attack of opportunity. Like, just because I can't see you doesn't mean I can't hear you. Doesn't, you know. I give it to you guys. Like, you don't need the scent ability to be able to.
So, invisibility and vanish give a +20 to stealth checks.
He's not going to be stealthy. But there needs to be a perception of. Yeah.
Yeah. Perception versus stealth.
Okay. I'll tell you
some sort to even notice that he is there.
Even though I made it with hand dice, I will dig up the... I'll do it publicly. You know? Do I catch you moving? Because like I said, Lord Tin Can here goes tromp, 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 three squares around me. I hear somebody moving. Where did you go? You know? Does it provoke? Maybe, maybe not. But I do know that he's moving. And if I get the perception high enough... 16, 21... I think I see in the dirt, hear you, you know, the type of thing. It's hard to hit a DC of 20, but with a perception of +5, getting very lucky with a 16. Remember how he kicked the dirt? You know, there is that split moment where he first moves, where if I don't strike now, I'm going to lose him. And she takes it. She lunges forward with a successful perception. Now I got to beat that DC of 50%. I got to roll over 50. 58, because there is a 50% chance, 0 up to 50, of missing. And I think I know what square he's in. I picture his silhouette now to pierce the armor. Well, that's not bloody likely, but at least give me kudos that she got this far. 19 plus 10 with a 29. Possible crit, because daggers crit on a 19 to 20. Confirming the crit with a 30. He steps. I anticipate his move. I trust in the blade and my darkness of my god. And she actually rams it home in his hip with a critical hit. And with my sacred blade ability, my dagger actually does... Where are we here? Bum, 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 bum. Anyway, you see the unlikelihood. I'm not just giving her a strike. She had to perceive crazy hard with +20. If he made a stealth check... it would be 20 plus his stealth tech, but he didn't. He just ran. So I got to hit DC 20. Very lucky. 25% chance, like 16 or over, she got it. Okay, that's one out of the way. 50% mischance, that's two out of the way. Like these rolls are insanely lucky before the, you know, the poo-pooing starts.
That's the benefit of paying for fantasy grounds.
Sacred weapon, D8. So my D4 dagger becomes a D8 weapon. And I'm going to pull a card because I am a boss with a name, Fighting You, Sir. Just for fun flavor. It's the boss. Hey, look at that. Leg wound. I did say I hit you in the hip, in the leg. Double damage, and the target's land speed is halved for 1d4 rounds. So regular double damage of 2d8, sir. So we're going to go, here's 1d8. I got to do these raw, unfortunately, because... So you take 7 plus my... Where's my damage? Plus 4 is... You take 11 points of damage, Donald Dangan.
Totally got that.
Okay. And it's your leg. It's your oomphing it. I'll have you roll the d4. Just for funsies.
I'm rolling a d4?
Yep, to see how long your movement is halved for. Because your movement is cut in half.
Oh, I rolled a 4.
For 4 rounds. So the next for the next 4 rounds... including this one, your movement is halved. Now, you started in front of me and only moved 5, 10, 15, 20 to come all the way around behind me. You only have a 15-foot move, which means the best you can do... What is your movement? Is actually, your movement's 20 only 20.
Feet because I have heavy armor.
Yeah, okay. So here's what happens. Poof, he disappears, right? Sweet. I'm invisible. Okay? Maybe it's a hesitation because he didn't say, you can see you. Maybe he didn't know what he did. We never pulled this trick before. Oh, suddenly she's acting weird like you can't see me. Cool, let's try this out. Shift to the right. Oh, it's working. Take your step. She lunges. Luck.
You get a second, take a gander at the Zoom chat there, Jeff.
Well, where was that earlier?
We're looking it up.
Raw states it is impossible because an invisible creature has total concealment.
Just post the full rules.
Well, and like, again, I think it goes back to what I said. You have to take a partial action just to see them. How can you take a partial action to see them during, and then another full action during a reaction round?
Total concealment. You have line effect, mischance. Successful attack into a square occupied enemy with total concealment is 50% mischance. You can't execute attack of opportunity against a target with total concealment, even if you know what square they are in occupies. I see. Okay. Well, I've come this far. This is awfully, awfully shitty for me to retcon this. But fair enough. Our motto is rules of written. Messina. Rule of fun? Can I have a rule of fun? No? Yeah? No? Huh?
You decide.
DM. Yeah, no. No, I've hunted down Messina several times going, yes, I know there's rule of fun, but we play raw. So this is my redemption to Messina in other games where I'm always holding him to the raw rule. It's his character. So it is sort of karmic justice that I'm really thematically enjoying this. I'll put my card back.
Would have been a slick move, though.
No, it's good. But like I said, I will hold to the rules.
So in her mind's eye, this is what she envisioned happening.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. This is what goes down, right? And then there's like Fafal pulls the string and it's a goat leg. You thought that you got him. What the?
Stab, poof of smoke, daggers in a log.
Yeah, like the anime poof stuff dummy kind of thing, right? She stabs, she smiles, she hits home. You know, she's just waving her dagger around. So without that, you have full movement. You are on the other side. Bartholomew, that's a move.
Yep.
And what?
Ooh, I swing the axe with the skull.
Okay.
You have a
plus two for being invisible.
And a plus one.
Right, so it's a plus three total on top of your normal.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Jim doing an oratory performance. Thank you very much. I think Fafal sings.
I'm sorry, they were
mentioning... I mean, actually he does, but more in the shower than anything else.
Bartholomew sings.
Yeah, no, not at this moment.
He's dropping fat bars, hip-hop style.
Fafal's in there singing.
All the baritones.
He's in there singing zestfully clean.
Auctions. And where's my axe? There's my axe.
Now, the perception thing and everything would have worked. I didn't break any rules, but there is that one that states that, unfortunately, it's too much to... You know what I mean? So I did follow through on a ruling. I wasn't making this crap up. But as Frank is stating here, because I thought we're done with this, but they're still going on about it in the chat. I know you moved, just can't see you clearly enough to strike. Thanks, Frank. I'll take that. So,
18 to hit.
Fantabulous, you hit.
Yes.
She does react, you know, as if not flat-footed and is wiggling around, but unfortunately, from the top of her shoulder down to the shoulder blades, you open her up with how much damage?
5 points.
5 points. Does not drive home, does not hit the head. Nasty scratch, and her garment parts to reveal armor underneath. Well, what do you know about that? Turns out she's wearing a chain shirt under there. You can see the links clearly now. I can see clearly now, your clothes have gone. Anything else, Mr. Donald Dagan?
Aha!
Okay.
And he comes visible.
And he pops into the realm of the... I'm back! I'm back into the world of the living. Lord Varth.
I am going to desperately try to strike this guy again. See if I can do it.
Hmm?
16.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
Would be a 17, actually, because you still get the +1. And you get an additional +1 to that.
To damage. So that would be 9 points of damage, not 8.
To cultist number 3.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'll give you the extra damage there. It's 9, okay. A nasty flesh wound, but he's still standing, sir. This one could be trouble.
I am done.
Lady Lothied bemoans her condition. Silent cultist.
Oh, my pancreas!
Silent cultist 2 remains unfettered, unencumbered, and unconscious. Silent cultist number 3, not very happy with you. Obviously, not happy at all. You open him up. Ah! And clutching at his arm.
Should also have taken another point of damage, that last one.
I did.
Okay, cool.
You went from 8 to 9.
No, I mean the previous attack. I forgot to factor the +1. But we don't need to retcon that. I'm fine.
On the same guy?
Dude who was prone. I forgot to factor his extra point of damage.
Oh, no, that does make sense. Because if he's at 16, then he's going to start bleeding out. Ooh. That's all the difference right there. So no, that's totally worth a retcon, because now he has to roll stabilization and takes 1 point of damage. He's now at -2. But getting back to the spell at hand. Hi, how's it going? I defensively cast a spell I've prepared just for you. Clutching at the wounded arm, he actually reveals from a folded sleeve a holy symbol. They've got them stashed everywhere. With a 12. Yay! 15 plus the spell level twice is a 17 to cast a first level spell. 12. He wiggles, he wobbles, he grits his teeth, but nothing happens. And I eat the spell.
That's rough.
Standing here in our dark gods have forsaken us. What the hell is going on? Round 6. What will Wistilka the Fabulous do? Well, gonna have to wait till next time. A short break for the stream, but a full week for the upload and podcasting accent. Audience, say goodnight, Bartholomew.
Good night.
You're invisible. You're not mute.
Actually, I believe he's away from the chair.
Oh, he's invisible. He's invisible. Look at it. I can't see him. Say goodnight, Winston.
Good night, everybody.